But first up, we're talking about the search for life on other planets and this technique that might, new technique that might help us in that search. And Dr. Stefano Bagnulo of Armagh Observatory is on the line. Hi, Stefano.
Hi.
You're in Germany at the European Southern Observatory.
Precisely.
Very good. Okay. Now, Armagh Observatory, maybe tell us a little bit, our listeners, about Armagh Observatory, because it is really a famous observatory in Ireland. So for those that don't know, what do you do there?
Of course, yes, the Armagh Observatory is a very old institution and is actually, I would say, it's part of the island's heritage. But in fact, we are actually a very international community, and the Armagh Observatory hosts a lot of astronomers coming from all around the world. And we study our sun, the dynamics of our solar system, and the physics of various kinds of stars. And we are also try to pay a lot of attention to the outreach, and we try to educate people, especially local people, to astronomy and make them aware that Armagh has a strong international reputation in this
field. Sure, and that's what you're doing right now and talking to people in Dublin and others on the internet, of course. So maybe tell us, you had this paper which was fascinating in the journal Nature, which is a big journal, Nature. You're part of an international team. But what you wanted to do, I'll summarise, and if I'm wrong, you can correct me, but you wanted to use something called Earthshine to detect, first of all, the presence of life on Earth. So I suppose the first question is, why would we want to detect the presence of life on Earth?
Well, let's say that it's, of course, we know very well that there exists life on Earth, but because we live on it. But when we look for life somewhere else and we try to analyze the light coming from a distant star with the planets orbiting around it, detecting life is much more tricky. So we have, let's say, used this approach, which is called the polarimetry, actually spectropolarimetry, that has been suggested in the past as a diagnostic tool for extraterrestrial life. And we have decided to basically to test this method. It's not a method that we have invented. We have just decided, okay, if this method can be used to detect life in extrasolar planets, it must be able also to detect life on Earth.
Okay.
So the Earth was a benchmark.
Okay, so obviously the Earth has life, so if you can detect what's going on in terms of, say, the gases, the composition of oxygen and all the other gases, and this indicates life, then you could look for the same thing on another exoplanet that's a planet outside our solar system.
Yes, exactly, using somehow the same technique with, let's say, some modifications.
Okay, so you also use this VLT telescope, that's the very large telescope, isn't it? That's a European one?
It's actually, yes, managed by an European organization called the European Southern Observatory, which run a very large observatory in the southern part of Chile, which is called the Paranal Observatory, where there are four larger telescopes, 8 meters in diameter each, and that they are at disposal, they can be used by the astronomical community, mainly by European astronomers, but they are open to...
Okay. Now, the background to this, as I understand it anyway, is that in trying to find life in the universe, obviously the logical thing is to pick planets that are like Earth. So if we want to look at a planet that's like Earth outside our own solar system, the problem then is that if you're trying to look at the planet, the star, like our own sun or their sun, is going to be very bright, and that might actually block out what you're trying to look at.
Exactly. Actually, the technique, the spectropolarimetry, it works exactly at trying to minimize the problem of the overwhelming star, because the radiation coming, the light coming from the star is not polarized, but the light reflected by the planet is polarized. So somehow we are trying with the polarimetry to mask the signal coming from the star.
Okay, because it's as if somebody was in some other galaxy or some other nearby solar system, and they're trying to search for life, and they saw this planet Earth, and they were trying to look at it, that our own sun would actually interfere with their telescopes.
Exactly. It's like if you are trying somehow to study a dust of grain flying around a bright light bulb.
Yeah. Okay. Now, just polarimetry, what can you explain that to our listeners, what you mean? Obviously, polarity to me sounds like there's two poles, like on the planet Earth, there's a North Pole, South Pole. What are we talking about here?
Well, let's say that the concept of polarimetry is related to the direction somehow. As you said, there are two poles, so you have identified a direction of the oscillation of the electromagnetic field. So most of us are used with the brightness of a star, of anything. We are used to measure the light in terms of brightness. We say that a star is brighter than another or different, of a different color. And polarimetry says how the electromagnetic field associated to the light oscillates. But actually, although this seems like a quite complicated concept, is actually very well known to many people, even if they don't know it, because, as I said, the reflected light is always polarized. So if you wear Polaroid sunglasses that are commonly available in
the... Yeah, sure.
You will see that some reflection disappear, like, for instance, the reflection of the light on the sea. When you wear Polaroid sunglasses, it disappears because that light is polarized, and the purpose of the Polaroid sunglasses is to filter the polarized light.
Okay, so when you're looking at the exoplanet that you're interested in, then you can filter out the light that's coming from the star and just focus on the light that's of interest from the planet.
Precisely. It works in the opposite way. Instead of removing the polarized light, we work in the other way. We remove the unpolarized light, but in some respect it's like to bring a bigger pair of sunglasses on the top of a larger telescope.
Okay, now tell us about the Earthshine aspect to it where that comes into the story.
Well, the Earthshine, first of all, I guess everybody knows that is that part of the fraction or that part of the surface of the moon that is illuminated by the Earth actually is the sunlight that first illuminates the Earth, then is reflected to the Moon, and then back to Earth. And it's visible by naked eyes when you can see only a little crescent of the Moon. And the idea, the astronomical use of the Earthshine is that allows us people, to astronomers, to study the Earth as an exosolar planet. If an astronomer want to know how the Earth look like from space, has two possibilities. She or he can bring a larger telescope to space and point it to the Earth. Or we can use, as we did, we can use the Moon as a giant mirror to look ourselves.
Well, that's very clever, isn't it? Because we can do it then from Earth, and we can use as it's like a mirror. So
exactly.
So you essentially can look at the Earth and determine what constitutes life on Earth by looking at the gases that you can see, the composition of gases, the chemical. Ratios.
We can make somehow a rough chemical analysis of our atmosphere, and we are even able to understand that there are clouds, that there are ocean and even vegetation. Of course, if we could, we would prefer to not to use polarimetry, but to use intensity measurements like everybody does. But as I said, the advantage of polarimetry is that it can filter out the light coming from the star hosting exosolar planet.
And how do you know, looking through your telescope, if there's a lot of oxygen coming from a particular planet's atmosphere, for example?
Well, in principle, because this technique has not been applied yet to exosolar planet, in principle you would see somehow as what we call a spectral feature. So somehow, let's say, a part of the electromagnetic spectrum of the radiation that oscillate along a preferred direction at in a certain color range.
Okay.
It's a bit difficult to explain it without showing.
But you can when you're looking at it, you know, okay, that's oxygen and that's nitrogen together or whatever.
Yes,
it is.
Yes, sure. Actually, there are theoretical models that are employed to interpret our observations. Of course, without a theory, we wouldn't be able to.
Okay.
Interpret our observation.
Now, there was something interesting that I looked up on the ARMA website, and they said that, you know, when you look at the Earth, there's the biosignatures there. We can see the composition from looking down the telescope, that a certain amount of oxygen, nitrogen, etc. And that's indicative of life. And it's pretty definitive. Like, it couldn't have been done by accident, because the gases would then react if there
exactly,
was no life
yes.
here, and they would have a different composition.
Yes. That's correct. I would only add that it's indicative of life as we know.
Okay, as we know, but if you saw something similar, it would be a very, very strong, on another exoplanet, it would be a very, very strong indicator of life there.
Yes, it would be, yep.
That's exciting, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yep.
Okay, excuse me. So we're going through all of these exoplanets, and I mean, this is just purely your own opinion, but just to ask you as a scientist, I mean, how likely do you think we will find the signs of life in these exoplanets and one of them in the coming years, decades?
Well, let's say that this is a matter of gambling rather than having a scientific opinion. I still want to answer. I think that we will sooner or later discover life somewhere else. But I would also like to remind that there's not only extraterrestrial life on exosolar planets, but possibly there is also life in other places of our solar system. And I personally believe that this will be the first discovery, that we will find some very primitive forms of life, for instance, in a Saturn moon or somewhere
Okay.
away from Earth.
Okay, so you won't be too shocked if it happens in our lifetimes?
No, I wouldn't be shocked, no.
Okay, it's a very exciting work, and thanks very much for coming on and telling us all about it from... Germany. That's Dr. Stefano Bagnullo. He's an astronomer with the Armagh Observatory. That's a real world-class observatory, and they had a paper in the journal Nature where they're actually using, it's a technique that they're going to use now to try and filter out all the brightness of stars to look at exoplanets to try and determine is there a composition there of gases in a particular atmosphere that might indicate that there's life on that planet.